In our next story, we're heading to Wairinga. It's in North Waikato, tucked between Te Kōwhiti and Maramarua. But first stop, a high school dining room.
This is a story about milk. Students at Hamilton St Paul's Collegiate have had the chance to push a button and fill a glass with fresh, cold, non-homogenised cow's milk delivered each morning from a farm just 50 kilometres away. The school's been trialling Happy Cow Milk, milk that's processed on-farm using a new system engineered so individual farmers can sell safe milk direct to consumers. There are rules, though. The cows have to be farmed the Happy Cow way, with a particular focus on being green and kind. The milk the St Paul's students have been tucking into was produced on Chris Falconer's farm.
So this is the magic box where the milk comes to, just out of a stainless steel line that comes off our normal milking equipment.
So you've got your great big vat here with the Synlait sticker on it.
Yes, we do.
So you supply Synlait.
So we supply Synlait, and we've got, I call it the Happy Cow tap down over there, which just diverts the milk into a different direction. So most of it goes into this big tank, but what we want to process and when we want to process it, we just turn the tap and we fill the kegs over here for the Happy Cow milk processing unit.
And they do look like beer kegs.
They do look like beer kegs. They're actually a keg within a keg. So on the outside of them, there's a water jacket. That's how we pasteurise the milk. So hot water gets pumped around the outside of the keg within a keg. And once it's been held at pasteurising temperature for 2 minutes, it switches to cold water and then starts to cool the milk down again. But yes, they just look like big beer kegs.
So tell me about the Happy Cow model.
In essence, it's delivering milk direct to consumers from a farm. It just accounts for some of the attributes that people are looking for in milk these days. So they want less environmental footprint, they want more animal welfare or higher animal welfare standards, and they just want that direct connection so they feel like they can support farmers doing the things that they like to see happening on farm.
Chris says the next step is to supply cafes and other schools. He says a trial at St Paul's went so well, milk deliveries will be a permanent arrangement.
You take one of these kegs, you put it in the back of the ute, and we unload it there, and we put it on a little set of wheels, and then we just push it out into the serving area, and away you go. You press the button, milk comes out.
So the kids would just fill up their cups with milk straight out of the keg?
Yeah, it's got three buttons on it. And each of the buttons does a different thing. So one button dispenses 150 mils, which is about the size of one of those typical cafeteria glasses that you see. Or you can press and hold a button. So kids are coming up with a bowl of cereal, just putting it directly underneath the tap and pressing and holding the button so that the milk would come out. And when they were ready, they just let it go and that was it. And the other one dispenses half a litre. So you could also come up with a carafe and fill your carafe and take it back to the table.
What feedback did you get? Did they tell you it tasted creamier than other milk?
Well, it definitely tastes creamier than other milk. I think typically, you know, the dark blue top is about 3 to 3.5% fat and about a bit under 3% protein. But our milk goes at more like sort of 5 to 5.5% fat and 4 to 4.5% protein. So it's noticeably denser is what I would say. Also, I think people comment on sort of the texture being sort of a richer texture, but it's also got sort of a sweeter, vanilla-y kind of flavour to it, which I think is quite appealing.
Happy Cow is the brainchild of a guy called Glenn Herod in the South Island,
yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, so Glenn, he first started it as a farmer, as a processor, as a distributor, as a marketer, and I think one of the issues he ran into is that he was trying to do too many things, and that just the act of transferring milk to the processing and then having to bottle it and do all those sorts of things, it was just too much. So he kind of thought there had to be a better way, and the better way was just making it easier for existing farmers to process on farm. So existing farmers are actually good at farming and we know what we're doing, we're quite efficient at that. And so it was just a matter of connecting us to a system that enabled us to be efficient processors and distributors as well. So that's effectively what he's done.
How many of you are doing this?
We are the only ones. So we're the trial farm. So we get to make all the mistakes for everyone else. So you can thank me later for that if you like. Yeah, we're the first trial farm, but we think there's plenty of legs in it for other farmers. So we'll iron all the bugs out for you. But it's actually been it's been remarkably easy.
Should we just go and stand in the sun?
Sure. You want to come and stand in the sun, Goose?
I read where one of the things that happy cow farmers do is that they leave the calves on their mums.
Yes, so that's another thing that we're trialling. It's a cool idea and people want to see it in action, but it's just we've just got to make sure that we're able to make it stick on farm. And yeah, that's what we're doing.
So the calf gets first dibs and you get what's left, is that right?
Yeah, we're sharing with the calves. and to be fair, what we've found is that the calves don't just drink off their own mothers. They're equal opportunity drinkers, and if a cow will stand there long enough, trust me, they will. So it's not so much that they drink just off their own mother. There seems to be a little bit of a community spirit going on, and some cows, they love it. They actually seek the calves out. Sometimes the dams just do not want to feed their calves. There's mismothering does occur. So we've found a whole bunch of things that we weren't necessarily expecting happen.
Watching calf behaviour with their mums is something that's probably quite new for dairy farmers.
It is, and I think, you know, beef farmers will and beef breeders will see it in action, but I don't think they see it in action as regularly as we do, you know, because we have so much interaction with the animals, because on a daily basis we've got this process of bringing them in to milk them, and obviously the calves come with them as well. So we get to observe that quite a bit. I think the thing to stress is that we watch them very closely, and if things aren't going the right way for the calf, we're not afraid to bring it inside and rear it in a conventional way.
What else do you have to do differently now that you're supplying happy cow milk?
Well, nothing in particular. So, you know, it's not like I've had to go and stop doing a whole bunch of things on farm, because we don't feed palm kernel, we don't use artificial fertilisers, we don't do a whole bunch of cropping. And yeah, so there's just a whole range of elements to management that we were already doing. And so for us it was quite a straightforward sort of thing for us to take on.
You talked about your environmental footprint. I noticed that you've got some fabulous plantings down there. Is that something that you put a lot of effort into on this farm?
It is, yeah. I want to work in an environment that I'm happy being in. So we've planted probably close to 15,000 native trees on the farm. To date, we've got a policy of only planting native trees. And we try and do it in a way that sort of sets it up to be habitat, so we get some ecosystem benefit out of it as well.
How many cows do you have?
We have about 320 cows, 330 cows. And we split calves, so we calve roughly half of them in the spring and half of them in the autumn. So we produce milk all year round. But we only milk our cows once a day. So I know, unlike most farmers, that I do 365 milkings in a year. But for others, it could be, you know, 600 plus milkings a year. I think that's one of the things people often say is, oh, you have to milk every day of the year. And I say, yeah, but It's 365 milkings. I know exactly what that is. It's not too stressful.
And what percentage of your milk do you think is going to head the happy cow way?
Well, at the moment, it's we're talking hundreds of litres, small hundreds of litres. And one of the barriers to supplying your own milk directly to customers is that at different times of the year, we produce different amounts of milk, and that's actually a really hard thing to manage. We're dealing with a product with a shelf life, and we're dealing with markets. So our approach is that we'll feel our way up to an amount of milk that we can manage in our existing system, and then we have a processing partner, Synlay, that comes and picks up the rest of our milk. And that means I don't have to manage some of those peaks and troughs. you know, they're at their big processes and they're used to dealing with those things. It's very difficult for an individual farmer to do that. So the answer is, I don't know, maybe 20-30% of our milk.
Yeah, why did you do it? The easiest thing would have been to just keep on putting that milk into the vat, the big vat.
Yes, it would be the easy thing to do, but we do a whole bunch of things that aren't necessarily considered to be conventional. I've been really conscious for a while of what the market is interested in terms of the attributes of the products it wants to consume. And as a farmer, I don't think there's anything more satisfying than being in direct contact with consumers. So that's really satisfying. And how do you do that? Well, you've actually got to do something about it yourself, because no one's going to do it for you. You have to get amongst it yourself. So it's a bit of a difference, because mostly as farmers we're price takers and we sit inside our farm gate and a truck comes and picks up whatever it is we have to sell and out it goes.
What do you think the price point will be per litre of milk for the Happy Cow milk?
We want it to be accessible, so we don't necessarily want to make it, you know, we feel like it's a premium product, but because we don't have a whole bunch of people sitting between us and the market, that we can get it out there for not much more than what people would normally pay for milk. And that's important to us. If we differentiate ourselves and then we're only for a small portion of the community, then what does that say about us and our relationship with our community?
$3-4 a litre?
No, less than that. No. I mean, you can buy those high-end milks in the supermarket for $4 a litre, but no, we're not going to be anywhere near that. No. So much less.
And that will be more than you're getting for your bulk milk?
Yeah, it'll be more. Yep. It'll be considerably more, but then again, I don't have to own a milk tanker and I don't have to own a powder dryer and I don't have an office. I've got a desk in my bedroom, and I don't have a marketing budget, and I don't have a whole bunch of those things that sit between a producer and the market. They just don't exist.
Are you excited about it?
I'm excited about all sorts of things. You know, selling out through Happy Cow is almost, for me, it feels like an outcome of all of the other stuff that we do, and the fact that we like to farm with our values at the front end rather than sort of bolt them on or add them in when we can afford them. You know, we don't use any dairy we don't rear our own dairy replacements, so we have no bobby calves to deal with. So we just buy other people's empty cows and nurture them and get them back in calf, and so they become part of our story as well. So we recycle other people's cows that, for varying reasons, fall out of their system.
Obviously, they didn't get in calf, so there might be some underlying issue. So what's your success rate of getting them back into milk?
Pretty good. We're sort of 85 to 90%. But people have effectively abandoned them to their fate, and so we don't have to pay a lot for them for a start, because most people, they're rejected. And we get a lot of young cows that are just underweight, if nothing else, you know. And so we sort of rehabilitate them by milking them once a day and sort of throwing some of the common metrics out the window. We're not interested in the BW and PW, the indexes of cows. I'm interested in offering a cow an opportunity to exist in her own right, and that's important to us as well. So that's kind of sort of one of the values that we hold, is that and what's been really satisfying about having calves with cows is that actually it's not been about us managing them, it's just about offering them choice, and hey presto, it's easy. As soon as we're not trying to press them into our system and we let them do what they want to do, it gets easy all of a sudden. So we only have beef cross calves born on the farm. We aren't in a position where we've got an animal that the industry doesn't want for whatever reason.
How much milk do you think the calves drink?
Well, I know that calves can drink up to sort of 10 or 12 litres a day if they want. The science behind it, I would say, isn't really precise. The answer is we don't know. This is all just an experiment for us. We'll find out as time goes what the impact on production is, but
But the calves come out really good. and it's just nice and easy for us, and it's just really quite satisfying to see them, really. So the answer is, I don't know.
You said you didn't buy any palm kernel. If things get a bit lean on the farm, you haven't got a lot of grass, what do you use to supplement?
So we buy byproducts and just the normal byproducts that you can get from the brewing industry or from the milling industry. And, you know, there's plenty of non-food grade materials out there. I'm not necessarily opposed to the use of palm kernel, but plenty of people tell me that they are. And I guess my message to them is I'm listening. And I don't need to have an argument with anyone about it. I just listen and respond. And if the response is, you don't like it, we won't use it. I'm not going to have an argument about it.
Poppy! Poppy! Come on. Come on, Poppy. Poppy! Come on, you're usually not shy. What's going on? That's Mary over there. Mary was born with bilateral palsy, and under the normal course of events, she wouldn't be with us now, but we hand-reared her for 3 or 4 weeks until she could stand up, and as you can see, she's fine and dandy now, but she'll always be a little bit... She's got to stay with us. We can't put her out in challenging paddocks because she's still prone to falling down from time to time, but she's quite happy here.
Hey, Poppy.
Hello, Poppy.
And she's a Jersey.
So we wouldn't normally have a dairy-type animal on the farm because we use beef bulls, but we had a neighbour's bull who was quite interested in our cows one day, so he hopped over the fence and helped himself. So Poppy was the result of that little tryst. Oh, here comes Mary. So you see how she... Look at her head, the way she moves.
Right, she's got a bit of a wobble on.
She's got a wobble on. Hello, Mary. Mary's a little bit more circumspect, but... Hello. She actually was raised and grew up with Gertie the pig, so she was good friends with Gertie. They used to snooze together in the sun after having their milk in the morning. Mary... I think there's a lot to be said for having animals, lots of different kinds of animals around you. We set up all of these small paddocks around the house specifically so we could have direct contact with animals as we pleased. And if we had, you know, circumstances like Mary here, then we could fit them in as well. We have to take responsibility for every animal that's born on this farm. That's just part of it.
Chris Falconer, happy cow milk producer with his two happy cows. His next project is to retire and plant out another 50 hectares of his land. He says he's taking it out of production because it's the right thing to do. Chris farms beside the Whangamereno River and says it's a taonga. And Happy Cow raised $500,000 through crowdfunding so its founder, Glenn Hurrod, could develop the milk processing and distribution system.